from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
6:02 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Get your feet on the floor. Jumpstart your day on this Hump Day Wednesday.
What's up, man?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Not much. What's going on?
Man, just tired.
Very tired. Tired. Enjoying New York, are you?
Oh, I'm enjoying New York. I am. I'm enjoying New York. I guess the fatigue early on is like I told you guys before. I refuse to pay $50 for an Uber.
Cheap ass.
Call me what you want.
Dude, I do the same thing. It's not like I've literally, you know, taken the easy way out sometimes and paid so I didn't have to walk because of my back, you know, for an Uber and something that's short. But I'm definitely doing what you're doing. Like, yeah. I'm not spending $50-$60 to do that.
You spend $50-$60 on 2 sandwiches delivered.
That's true. Maybe I would do it. Never mind, Rob.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Yeah, I'm not cheap. Jeremy. I'm just lazy.
No, I'm just, I walk to work. So, you know, at first you're a little tired when you get here, but, you know, get to the second wind, you're all right.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing $50. It's just dumb. Why? I mean, 3 miles is 2.9 miles.
So which way do you go?
What you mean?
To walk, I'm curious. I just know the city.
I go up 7th Avenue. Is it 7th Avenue or 7th Street?
7th Avenue.
7th Avenue.
It's right after 6th Avenue.
Heart I go right up there, and I run into 54th, and I bang a right, and I walk down 4 blocks, and, oh, I'm sorry, 2 blocks, and I'm at my hotel.
Oh, I'm at the studio, because your studio is so far west.
The opposite.
And south is the opposite. Yeah.
Down 7th Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's on Greenwich Street.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm on Greenwich Street.
How was last night for you? I mean, I know a lot of people, we heard we're going to talk Orioles coming up here, but Kramer looked pretty good. And seeing the Orioles bounce back, I thought this was going to be a tough series with the Mets just because they're throwing some lefties at you and being at home. But, you know, this is one of the things in the second half of the baseball season, Rob, where it's funny, too, to look these teams down the stretch and see how they're going to try to stack their lineups. But I think a lot of teams, looking at the, if you want to call it mediocrity, are going to do the same thing where it's like, hey, we're going to push some of our pitchers back. We know we're going to be in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the rotation. Let's get the rotation exactly how we want it. Give some guys days off. And then I guess we'll find out who ends up winning the divisions. But
Jerry, I'm hoping the people that mass and are listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
I love doing the road games better than the home games.
Really?
Yes. You know why?
Because Mr. Met messes with you?
The road games, they don't have studio room for us. Monday, I had to go from the studio because it was raining. And my producer, Don, thinks I'm going to melt. So I would have got an umbrella and done it downstairs. But on the road, you do it from the camera well. You're right next to the dugout. And you hear everything that's going on. And you now know why the NFL sideline reporters know so much. Because they hear everything. And the good ones know what to report what not to report, and how to report it. And I just love being on the road because I'm sitting next. Yesterday in Citi Field, my seat in the Camberwell is literally next to where Brandon Hyde and Freddie Gonzalez sits.
Hmm.
That's all the decisions. I'm literally next, sitting next to him. And one time I yelled on a replay about the ball to hit the wall. What are they taking so long for? And Freddie Gonzalez said, I don't know. But that's how close I'm to him. I wasn't talking to him. I was talking to the general, but he heard me. And but when you're at home, because they spend that money on that beautiful studio upstairs, it's beautiful, but you're so far away from the game. And to me, a pre- and post-game host is akin to a sideline reporter. And you're so far away from the quote-unquote sideline. I love being on the road because you're right there. And it's so much easier to do your job because of what you hear.
What do you think of Citi Field?
I was just going to ask the same thing.
It is absolutely stunning. I was here when the All-Star game was here. It may have been 2013, 2014. I was here. And it was, man, the things they added to it, the scoreboard, the video, oh, is it like probably, I think it's officially the biggest scoreboard in baseball. It's phenomenal. The side scoreboards, you know what I mean, the side digital things, unreal. It has so much information for you, the atmosphere. And the one thing I love about it, guys, they play music between every pitch.
Really?
Every pitch.
Every
they
pitch?
Yes. Yes. Between every pitch, they have a DJ. And he plays another song. Like, when the pitch is delivered, umpire calls balls a strike. And most of the time it's wrong. It calls balls with a strike and vice versa. As the umpire is calling the call and the ball is being thrown back, music is playing. Pitcher gets the ball. When the pitcher toes the rubber, music stops.
Hmm.
And it gives you this heart racing kind of effect. Like something is always going on.
Does it feel like a minor league game?
No, better than that. The atmosphere is better than that. This is genuine. It's genuine. It's not made up. I think the fans, because they're used to it here, they kind of contribute to it as well. But it is the most interactive stadium that I've ever been in for baseball. It is so interactive. They get it right. There's never a dull moment. There's never dead air, so to speak. There's always something going on.
I take that trumpet player's trumpet and just leave.
Well,
he's ready to play.
Where's my trumpet? Monday, they just played trumpets. There wasn't a trumpet player live. Okay. They just played it. But I'm telling you, dude, I think the stadium is awesome, but I think the atmosphere makes it even more awesome. Like, say, for instance, if I thought the stadium was a 7, I would probably give it a 10 because the atmosphere makes up for the other 3.
Okay.
It's just for now.
So Kevin James there.
I would come
there.
Here for a game on my own.
Well, Kevin James has come down here and I think watched the Mets play.
He's a huge Mets fan. Mets
so
Jets.
Is Jim Brewer, night. Goat Boy from Saturday Night Live and Half-Baked.
Mm-hmm.
He comes down. He's been down here plenty of times when the Orioles face the Mets. So it is, like, I love seeing the celebrities that are fans of certain teams because, like, when you look at the bigger cities, it's easy. You go to a Lakers game, you're like, oh, there's celebrities everywhere. New York, Boston. Yeah. I mean, you're going to find them. Chicago, even. You go to Baltimore, there's not a ton of, like, celebrities that
like
come
national
out.
Celebrities, yeah.
But, I mean, but there are some. Like, you watching
I saw Josh Charles last night.
Yeah, and look, Josh Charles
is get to him.
He's probably the biggest star that we know as an Orioles and Ravens fan. You know, like you see Edward Norton in the movie The Score wearing an Orioles hat. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, he is an Orioles fan.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then you find out about, you know, obviously other celebrities that are.
I got to sit in studio live with Amy Lawrence this morning.
Heard you.
Yeah.
Heard you right in.
It's New York, baby. It's New York. I mean, what could go wrong?
Yeah, right.
What's trending at 6:30, but on the other side, Birds get even here in the Big Apple. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to this, the SWV version of this coming in this morning. What an ironic thing for Ben to play there, Rob.
Birds win last night. They outslug the New York Mets 9-5. Bullpen did decent until Bert Smith came into the game. He just didn't have it last night. Perez, good. An inning, he struck out two. Bert Smith, a third of an inning, he gave up three earned runs. There was a Gunnar Henderson era.
So you mean Cano. The guys you trust sometimes make mistakes? It happens?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm just saying, like, the bitching that's going on about everything. You can't go to that guy in the bullpen. You got to go to this guy. Bert Smith was the guy everybody trusted.
Yes.
Gave up runs last night. It's baseball.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. And it's the same thing, too.
He faced the tough part of the order. If I'm not mistaken, didn't he have Nemo, Martinez and Alonso.
Yeah.
And three tough hitters.
And the other part of it too, like, you know, a guy that you really rely on in Gunner having an error in a big situation as well. So, you know, like those are, we don't ever get to bring that up because everybody wants to nitpick when you make a move and it doesn't work out. Nobody's calling in and patting Brandon Hyde on the back today saying, hey man, you really did a good job manufacturing your way through that because Birch didn't have it tonight. You know, like I just get tired of it. It's just all negativity all the time.
All the time.
You seem a little grumpy, Jeremy, right?
Yeah, I'm all right. I am grumpy.
Sound like it a little bit. You need a hug?
He's not himself.
No, I mean, I just found out. Like, I went to the local grocery store. I didn't see Lamar Jackson on the back of any milk cartons.
You didn't?
I thought I could.
How long were you waiting to do that?
That's outdated milk. That must be old milk. That must be before the AFC Championship game.
Oh, man.
It's funny because last night, James McCann. Folks, for those of you who hate New York, I'm going to give you more reason to. I don't hate it, but last night I was a little ticked off. Who boos James McCann?
Yeah, well, this is what teams do when you leave their team.
He got traded. He didn't sign free agency.
It's the dumbest thing that fans do.
He comes to the play, and there was a sea of boos. Like, I mean, I felt it. It hit my soul.
He got booed before he hit the home run?
Yes. It's coming to the plate. Boo. It's James McCann. Nobody boos James McCann.
And they loved him when he was there.
So he comes up, I think it's second or third at bat. He comes up again. And just like people don't boo James McCann does the pimp home runs. He did last night.
Are you a James McCann or a James McCant?
He did last night. Man, he hit that ball and it sound violent. And he just pimped it. And something I've never heard him do, he was grunting on every swing. It's like he's playing tennis. He was trying. He might not admit it, but last night in the post-game walk-off, I asked him, I said, it felt good, didn't it? He looked and said, yeah, it did. And what you didn't expect him to say, yes, that was just another home run. No, he said, no, it felt good. Because who boos James McCann?
Grunting's nothing. I grunt to shifting my chair.
My dad.
But he doesn't run the swing.
When my dad played softball, I'd laugh at him because I'm like, he's got his stick shift going because he'd have to adjust his crotch and he'd grunt. And every time he'd swing, even when he didn't swing, he was grunting. I'm like, what are you doing? What's this grunting happening for?
Yeah, but he said it felt good. It looked like it felt good. And good for him, booing James McCann. But the story also, we'd be remiss. Once again, two starts in a row, Dean Kramer. Six innings, one run, two hits.
Yeah.
And
it looked awesome. Really did. That's a quality start.
Yeah.
Not the definition of quality start. That's a quality start.
It does seem like that goalpost has been moved to make. Look, having a 450 average, if you go six innings and give up three runs, you're middle of the pack. You're an average pitcher at best.
450 ERA is good.
Yeah.
No.
But, consistently keeping your team in the game if you're only giving up three runs every time you go out, I do think if you're going six innings, you're probably keeping your team in most games. But, Rob, it's one of the reasons why, and I know he hasn't had many opportunities so far in the postseason and last year didn't look good, why I trust Dean Kramer more than I trust Suarez. He has a longer track record, and I've seen him do this for a longer period of time. Plus, I think Suarez would be great in the bullpen. I know we're going to have this conversation going down the stretch, and right now it may not matter because of the injury stuff that we're going to get to later.
Again.
Yeah.
Again.
It's just ridiculous, man. You start looking at their IL, and you're like, that's a damn good team.
Eight pitchers.
That's a damn good team. It's crazy.
I got a theory on this whole IL thing. Not so much baseball, but Orioles. Not why, but something seems to be a little manipulated a little bit to me. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that at 7 o'clock. But you feel good with Craig Kimbrell coming in the ninth inning, two up, two down?
Man,
a little bit.
I don't feel good when those words, Craig Kimbrell's coming in, if I can say it, ever. Like I mean, I said it when they signed him that I get it. People are happy because the market wasn't great out there for closers, and he is a guy that seemed to make sense for the Orioles and what you're trying to do, bridge that gap until Batista's back. But, man, it's been a tough watch. And look, fans have changed. Fans wanted him in the All-Star game, and then they want to DFA him. They've rode that roller coaster all year long. But I mean, I hope he figures it out. It's just tough to watch that sometimes.
No, I'm not asking if you felt good with him coming in the game. I'm asking if you feel good about the results.
Man, I don't care. Like, he's got to do that multiple times.
Yeah, but in order to do it multiple times, you got to do it once.
Yeah.
And I thought last night. I mean, I'm not gonna say I hope the day with one run lead in the ninth inning they bring it in. Craig Kimbrell, I'm not saying that. But I am happy that he came in and that he looked, instead of like the old Craig Kimbrell, he looked like the old Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just happy with the results. I mean, the problem is I feel like he's got has the ability. I don't think he's washed up by any stretch. He's not,
You don't.
Look like himself. No. I still think he's got some, something left in the tank. And he did it last night, and they came away with the victory, so I'm, happy about that.
I think someone put sugar in his tank.
You think he's washed up, Jeremy?
Oh, man. I hate calling somebody washed up, but he's pretty damn close to it, man. His ass is out in the river, and they're rubbing him against a rock right now. He's almost done.
All the evidence of being that, you know, you see it. Loses velocity, can't find his location. You know, that's normally...
And look, this happens to everyone, so it's not like... I don't want this to happen to him.
I like him.
Yeah, it's just what's going on. And if you're going to call it like it is, you have to. You have to look at Craig Kimbrell and say, this is the one thing why I don't bash, like I didn't bash the Trevor Rogers thing because you want to see it play out. I wasn't killing Craig Kimbrell earlier in the season, but I'm like, hey, this keeps going on. You're going to figure out who your closer is. Then he puts a string together where he did make a nice case for him being at the All-Star game, and Clay Holmes going over. Clay Holmes has blown 10 saves more than anybody in baseball. So, and he's still the closer for the Yankees, by the way. So, like, when you look comparatively speaking, yeah, but it's a tough watch now, man, when he's out there, because you're like, I know two guys are getting on base almost every time.
Former Dolphins head coach Brian Flores is dodging traffic. We'll tell you all about that at 6:45. But on the other side, what's trending in sports up next on The Fan. What's trending right now at 6:30 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Oh,
according to ESPN's Jameson Hensley, he covers the Baltimore Ravens for them. This is quote, Riley Stanley, enters the most pivotal season of his 9-year career after taking a 50% pay cut this year, making $7.5 million to remain with the Ravens. If Stanley can rebound anywhere close to his 2019 All-Pro form, he could set himself up for another big contract, possibly with Baltimore. If he continues to perform below expectations, Stanley will enter free agency in 2025 as a major question mark. He says, Jameson Hensley, says Ronnie Stanley is on the hot seat. Now, I wanted to make sure he meant as in plays through the year, his future for 2025. So I text Hensley just to make sure, and that's what he means. He means not on the hot seat to make the roster this year, but on the hot seat whether or not he makes the team in 2025. And I go one step farther. He's on the hot seat to see what he's going to make for another team. I don't think there's almost any chance Ronnie Stanley's going to be a Raven in 2025.
No, they have to look, I think, beyond Ronnie. I think it's time. And actually, I think it's pretty well acknowledged. I think he is on a hot seat, because I was reading one of those, you know, ESPN polls, who's on the hot seat for every NFL team. And most of them were like, you know, Salah for the Jets. It was the coaches for most of these teams. For us, it was Ronnie Stanley. So I think it's pretty widely accepted.
The hard part with this is, so for him to be back with the Ravens, if I'm just looking at it from that standpoint, I think he has to play unbelievably well and come back in at a hometown discount to be here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, because... if he plays well, he's going to go off to somebody else because somebody's going to pay him. Everybody's looking
left
for
tackle.
A left tackle.
Absolutely.
But you're 100% right. That's why I don't think there's any chance he can go. If he doesn't play well, they're not going to keep him. If he plays well, they're not going to be able to afford him.
Yeah.
So I think one way or the other, he's gone.
Well, and then the other part of this, too, is like I've never seen a team in my life watching this rotate left tackles during the season. Is he healthy or not? What's going on? And that it's just such a weird thing. It's almost like teams when they would rotate quarterbacks. Just like, what are you doing? He gets a series and he gets a series. I just didn't understand it.
Yeah, me either. It's a shame because I think skill-wise, I mean, we saw what he could be in skill-wise, 2019, all pro. But for some reason, this cat just hadn't done it.
Yeah.
He hasn't. I mean, and well, the worst part is, like, he hasn't done it. He's been accused of being soft by people, you know, on our show and others. I mean, it's no secret. I mean, Preston's always felt that way. I think a couple of us have felt that way. Because
I did initially. I do now.
Mm-hmm. And I defended it for a while because I said, you can't call anybody who plays left tackle in the NFL soft. You're fighting. You're hand fighting with the toughest people in the world.
But we all heard that story that he didn't want to play unless he was 100%.
Until
right?
He felt he was 100%. Yes. Not even if the doctors cleared him. He had to feel 100%.
Is he wrong for that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think so too, but like, you know your body, you know what you want to do, you're getting paid money. You know, if you go out there hurt and injure it more.
Yeah. The problem with this difference, yeah, it's like injured and hurt are two different things, as we all know. So they're very different things. You have to play hurt. It's football. Everyone's hurt. Everybody. But once the season gets going, who's 100%?
Hey, Rob, can I throw
going
something?
Back to this, real quick, going back to the soft thing, I used to defend him because I was comparing him to regular people walking. And no, he can't be soft because most people don't want to go through what you had to go through to be in NFL football.
Yeah.
However, when you compare him to other people at his position, yeah, he's soft. So if I compare him to like people, yeah, he's soft.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, you're not here. You're obviously in New York. And I looked over. I think Ed's playing Big Bad Morning Show Bingo because I saw him cross something off. And I didn't know if, like, when Jeremy says something gay, when, you know, whatever, like all these things that are going on. But I'm watching him cross stuff off of his notebook and it's freaking me out.
Well, you should be happy because what I just crossed off was kill Jeremy and I decided not to. So I crossed it out.
See, that's what I'm upset. I was hoping you crossed it out because you killed Jeremy. Mission accomplished.
That's messed up.
you don't be crossing. Erase it when you change your mind.
Right, that's true.
You cross it off?
Cross it off means its task is completed. That's what I just did.
Task completed. Mission accomplished.
But one thing I think.
There's Jeremy.
And he's still here.
And I'm back.
But I think Stanley also, you know, in the beginning, I thought it was because he's a Notre Dame guy. He doesn't talk like, you know, he's going to say, just, you know, he just shot somebody on the corner. It's like, you know, he's polite. He was polished. He's from Notre Dame. I thought that was part of it. Then I started to wonder, like, come on, man. You know, nobody's 100% in this
game. Let's call it what it is. You thought they called him that because he was a smart, articulate black dude.
Yeah.
And that's for some strange reason, even in our culture, is viewed as soft. You know what I mean? That is. And that's what I thought. I'm like, look, don't call a man soft just because, you know, no, they called him soft because he is. I mean, for all intents and purposes, he's, by left tackle standards, he is not that dude.
Well, it's just like, so, all right, if you watched, and I hate going back to this, all the receiver documentary, and you saw that
St. Brown?
No, well, St. Brown, or you could talk about Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams played with an AC joint issue.
Yeah.
And so he was in constant pain where his arm felt just constant pain. And he's on a losing team, and he's like, I'm going out and playing. And when you watch him on St. Brown, Rob, the same thing. Like, he said he tore his hamstring off the bone, came back early. Something with his ribs.
Was he the one they put a shank in his shoe?
Yeah, so he had a steel plate in his shoe because he messed up his foot as his cleat got caught in the ground and it bent his toe. But look at how much he played last year with all those, I'm going to call them injuries, but he was playing hurt the whole time. And I think at this level, if you have any pride or if you love the sport and you're not just picking it up for a paycheck, then you get your ass out there and you play.
The sport.
Yeah.
I think there's certain people who love the paycheck.
Yeah.
They don't love the sport. It's the difference. Now, you can love the sport and the paycheck, because if you love something and you know the money's out there, you want to be paid according to your worth. There's no problem with that. But I think there's some people who love the paycheck more than they love the sport.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's obvious with a lot. Like, look, if I'm looking at Jadeveon Clowney and he goes back to Carolina's final year and he hasn't won a Super Bowl and I'm going, really? That's where you want to go to finish your career? Maybe you just wanted to go home? Maybe the money was right.
Suggs did it.
Yeah. So
went back to Arizona.
Suggs won one, did he?
Huh?
Well, Suggs did it. He had already won one.
Yeah.
Clowney hadn't.
Well, Suggs had two, right? Didn't he?
Suggs had two later on.
Because he got the one with the Chiefs. Yeah.
Man, but when he decided to go home, he already won a Super Bowl. He won an NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. He won a Super Bowl. Now I'm going home. Okay, I get that. I mean, what else are you playing for?
Yeah.
But I think Clowney's being questioned because he's done none of that.
Well, I'm just trying to give a point of like somebody that might be. And we've talked about it. That guy's a hired gun, right? He's
Clowney.
Yeah. A lot of different guys that you're going to go around and go. Or he's basically a mercenary. You're bringing him in. I got one thing for you to do. Go get the quarterback, and at the end of the year, we'll see where we land. And there's a lot of guys when they sign, like, going over the Brandon Ayuk thing. It sounds like he's going to like sign on with the 49ers an extension. They're talking. But he's like, I want to get traded. I'm like, all right, we're going to trade you to the Patriots. I don't want to get traded. So, you know, and they were going to pay, make him one of the highest paid players in the league. So I think there are guys like Rob's talking about that care about both. But ultimately, it's going to come down to
the problem
is
Clowney went to perhaps the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's a little odd. And I know that's home for him, but
it's drivable from here.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
Well, his career's almost over. Like, you can go there for the rest of your life.
But they're going to end up like four wins or something. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible team.
It is. But it works for some guys.
I mean, I guess. It works
Darrell
for him.
I think Darrell Revis was a hired gun. I mean, look at his career. He just went wherever the paycheck was. Some guys do that. And they're productive when they do it. We talk about Ronnie Stanley because he's not a hired gun for the most part. He's just not very productive, and we question his love for the game.
Yeah. I don't know sometimes.
I don't question those other guys' love.
Yeah, look, I think sometimes, though, too, when you're looking at it, you're going to look at certain guys and go, okay, what are his motives being here? Like, I talked to, and Rob, we know a bunch of former athletes. I talked to a former NBA player, journeyman bench rider, averaged like 1.8 points per game, way better than everyone else. You know, like, you look at that type of career, and I said, hey, you're still playing basketball? He goes, no, it was a job for me. You know, like, he looked at it as a job.
That hurt your heart, didn't it?
It did, yeah, because I'm like, I can't play anymore because of my body breaking down, and I'd give anything to be back out on that court for another day, you know? So
Man, you can't play anymore because you're a bum now.
Well, okay. Well, you didn't have to tell everybody. I could have rolled with the injury thing, man.
Man, I was trying to hit him and it hurts, man. He just rolled off with that.
You see that? That's
no, you can't. His face is all red. He's a
shut up, Ed. You didn't see me. That's where you do that little roll in boxing, right?
I was trying to hit you in the short ones, man. You just took it. Well, you didn't tell anybody. Don't come with a good comeback when I'm delivering a knockout blow.
No, man, I'm going to be Rabbit and 8 Mile. I'm going to make fun of myself so you ain't got anything.
World is stupid at 7:15 as my computer just go blaze. But on the other side, Brian Flores, former Miami Dolphins head coach, is dodging traffic and trying to avoid the smoke. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. I am in New York at WFAN broadcasting live. And Jeremy back in the 105.7 The Fan studios. I'll be back in Baltimore tomorrow. Yesterday we talked about Tua Tagovailoa. He talked about his experience with his former head coach, without naming him, Brian Flores. We all knew who he was talking about. He was always told basically he sucked. That's what he was told. He sucked. And I think that's a grimy situation because I know coaches who do that. They think that's motivating people. We know people who do that in the workplace. I just don't think that's the right way to communicate with people. Some people don't need your motivation. Just let them show up for work and let them do their thing. It's that simple.
Well, Rob, this is the one thing I brought up yesterday, and I don't know with what was going on if you actually heard what I said, but like you can speak to it. Like coaching kids today for you, how different is it just 10 years ago coaching them? Because, like, the mindsets of kids, it's to me, it's vastly different.
Yeah, completely different.
And I think, like, you have to look at a guy like Tua, look at his background. Is he a guy that, and maybe there is something to be said, because his dad bullied him his whole life. Like, if you look at what hit me, his dad had him out there work when he didn't want to be doing things. He's a very religious guy, Tua. And maybe there is something to it where you're looking at it going, man, I don't want to be talked to that way. And then I can see him shutting down.
Go back for a second. You just said he's a very religious guy. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I think sometimes when you have athletes or people in the workplace who are very religious people and their job is not the number one thing in their life, their lives, because their faith is, people who don't have a life or anything else other than that job or that profession can't relate to them. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean guys like that or men and women like that aren't good at their jobs, aren't committed to their jobs. They're just more committed to something else, like their faith.
I think,
I wonder if this came into play here.
I'm sure we all worked with people like that. We didn't play in the NFL, but I know I absolutely, positively worked with people that their job was everything, and it really pissed me off because I worked with a guy in NYPD. He was high ranking, like maybe at the same time I was. And his reputation, oh, he's such a hard worker. He would take like 8 hours of work and stretch into 12 because he hated his family. He never wanted to go home. I am not joking.
Yeah.
He had nothing else. He hated his family life. He had no outside interests. He didn't play golf. He didn't work out. All he had was the NYPD. And I think that sucks for people. Yeah, to me, it's family first.
You know, the other thing that stands out to me, Rob, is you got to look at that Bill Belichick coaching tree. All the failures that have come out of that. And then there's been a handful of guys that have gone to other places that try to act like Bill Belichick and be him. And you don't have, I'm sorry, you don't have the resume to do that. And we've seen that. What Josh McDaniels went off the teams. What do the players say about him when he leaves? What an a-hole. Like, Darren Waller didn't even invite him to his wedding. They trashed him while he was the coach.
But think about this, Jeremy. There are things about you that you could only pull off that other people couldn't. Me, Ed, all goes down the line. There's certain things about our personality that other people couldn't pull off because it's not genuine. You know what I mean? You're perpetrating a fraud.
Yeah.
You know, when you're trying to be someone else, it's hard to do. It's not you. It's not, that come across genuine. So for all these Bill Belichick wannabes, it doesn't work because it's not who they are. They're trying to be somebody else. They're trying to duplicate somebody else. Well, Brian Flores is now the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, and he responded to Tua's comments.
You know, specific to you know, the comments that were made by Tua, I just want to say, look, I'm happy, genuinely happy for the success that Tua's had, and I really wish him nothing but the best. And you know, I think, you know, player relationships are very important to me. I think that's kind of the foundation of coaching. You know, I got into coaching because I was impacted as a young guy by my high school coaches, my college coaches, my going all the way to Pop Warner. I got into coaching because I want to make that same kind of impact, positive impact, pour into young people, help them become, you know, as KO says all the time, the best versions of themselves. And, you know, that's really my goal always in coaching. So I wish nothing but the best to Tua. And, you know, really, more than anything, I'm just focused on the Vikings, 2024 Vikings.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. He seems to be thriving under Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
He really does. He's a totally different personality. And what Rob just said about being comfortable trying to be someone else, maybe Flores is imitating the coaches who impacted him, and they sucked. And that's what he knows, is you demean people, so you think you're motivating, but you're really tearing them down. McDaniel, you're talking about someone who's comfortable in his own skin. He makes fun of himself because he's not an NFL athlete.
Yeah, and he, look, he's the sharpest offensive mind in football, in my opinion, and there's plenty of those guys we could talk about. But the other thing I see with this, and tell me if you agree or disagree,
I disagree.
I think Rob's a wonderful person. You disagree, Rob? Oh, so anyway, the point is, like, I think defensive coaches, which Brian Flores is, like, you talk to players differently, and I think they feed off of some of this stuff. Defensive players are a little crazy.
They're very different.
Yes. Yeah. Offensive players, they're also a little crazy, but it's a different kind. And I feel like those guys need to be coddled.
Yeah,
And I'm not saying you gotta sit here and give them everything,
but I ain't buying
none of
that.
No, I tell you what, though.
Go ahead.
There was an NFL, I can't remember if it was Tom Landry. It was a famous NFL coach. It'll come to me. He talked about the difference between offensive. He said offensive players come in, a polite wait to be told to sit down. Defensive players come in, put their foot on your desk, and say, "What do you want?" Mm-hmm. That's how he put it. Their personalities are different.
Man, that's why a defensive coach hired offensive players. Nobody else on the offense had a problem with Brian Flores. Here's the problem. All right.
Yeah, but it's his quarterback. It's the most important position.
Tua comes in. He doesn't need football to save him. Didn't save him from the streets. Didn't save him at all. He's got other interests in life. Doesn't affect him, impact him doing his job great. And Brian Flores wanted a guy that needed football. Needed him. And when he didn't, he was labeled soft. It happens all the time. It happens in high school, happens in college, happens in the NFL. You want this guy to be a certain way, to fit a certain bill. Tua does not. His ability be damned. He didn't have the personality that fit what Brian Flores wanted. If Brian Flores was a smart coach, a good head coach, he wouldn't give a damn. Can they got a quarterback or not? Forget about his personality. And it happens all the time. Tua wasn't the thug from the streets that needed football. Tua wasn't the guy that came in with the swagger that he wanted. So he crapped on the guy. I almost said another word. For no reason. None. If you listen to Tua and listen to Brian Flores, you hear it. That man didn't have the personality that he wanted, so he was labeled soft. The same reason why we defended Ronnie Stanley, Ed, before we found out what Ronnie Stanley was. We defended it because we thought people would label him as soft because of his personality. Here's a case where a guy really was. He was labeled soft. There's nothing. This guy came back from being belly-to-back suplex with a concussion that could have ended his career. And you question his toughness?
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, when, you know, just checking articles for this segment, I found one from 2022. What some Dolphins players disliked about Brian Flores, it wasn't just Tua. They just didn't like him. A lot of players didn't like him. Mm-hmm. They said it's his personality really rubbed them the wrong way. And that, it wasn't just him.
It's those guys that come out. I'm telling you, man. Like it's the guys that have won. And this is my belief. I don't know if you agree. The guys that have won there have a different kind of confidence going into their new jobs. And they haven't done anything yet to bring it. That's why, name me the one Patriots coach that's left and had success where he's gone. Everybody's failed. Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel. Some of them have failed multiple times in college and the pros. The Denver Broncos. You look at Josh McDaniel with the Raiders. I mean, you can go on and on. Even if you want to bring up old Butchin that went to Penn State and coached the Texans, Bill O'Brien. You know, if you want to talk about him, he failed everywhere. So, I just think it's maybe it's something with that group that's going out and coaching where they have this confidence or like that they can say whatever they want, do whatever they want. I don't know. I mean, that's just kind of my opinion on it because I think a lot of it does stem from those Patriot days.
World is stupid at 7:15, but on the other side, Orioles pitching injuries continue to stack. 8 pitchers on the IL. 8. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.